Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Meditation for Moms broadcast from hearttransformations.com. And I am Marie Georgopoulos, and I'm so grateful to be here with you today, not only sharing my knowledge and wisdom about meditation, but also about how it can help you to transform your life and help you to actually embrace more of your authentic self. For me, as a divine messenger, as a healer, a spiritual mentor, a speaker, I use my intuitive gifts to tap into the divine wisdom of your higher self, your angels, your spirit guides, and to guide you in your spiritual development, and also to assist you in overcoming your core life issues, what I call those core life issues that we struggle with over and over again. It's my passion and joy, actually, to do this work as I look forward to going inward myself, and I've done this work for myself for many, many years now, and I certainly look forward to assisting each and every one of you in transcending what's holding you back from having all that you desire in your life. And of course, meditation, I feel, is key to coming back into alignment with who you truly are, not who you think you are, but who you were born to be. And as with everything, meditation is an evolving experience that is beneficial for everyone, whether you're a novice at it or you've been meditating for a while. In my own personal journey, meditation, of course, has helped me to heal my heart, transcend my core life issues at a much faster pace so I could become more aligned authentically. And of course, meditation was a big part of my journey in embracing my psychic gifts and higher degrees of self-awareness. Later in this year, we're actually going to be talking about how to meditate to communicate with your spirit guides and your higher self. For those who are, of course, new to the show, and if you want to know more about me, you can go back to the podcast on From My Mama's Kitchen Radio, and download those podcasts that started back on April 7th. I did discuss more about, you know, where I came from, what my life was like, what got me into this type of service. And you can also go to my website as well, hearttransformations.com, to my About pages, where it explains a little bit about my journey, about what Heart Transformations is really all about. And just suffice it to say, I came from a background where there was a high dysfunction in my family with addicts and alcoholism and sexual abuse and things of that nature that really played an important role, I feel, now that I've come through it, in really birthing my whole self, in birthing who I really was. It was a catalyzing experience for me that led me on the path of moving into integrity of my being and what I really wanted in my life and how to heal myself. And so it really led me on my path, on my into my purpose. You can also email me if you have any questions. I'm an open book. You can email me at marieg@hearttransformations.com at any time, and I'm happy to share more about myself or even to guide you in how I might be able to assist you in your journey, in your spiritual awakening journey, in your healing journey, in your process of transformation. As I've mentioned before, all of the shows are designed to build one upon the other and sort of move you through a transformational meditation journey, as well as assisting you in discovering new ways to meditate. and also to move you past the issues that you're having with meditation. We all have them. We all stumble at first and get frustrated sometimes. We move through these things as our soul begins to connect deeper and deeper with us as we show up for her or him and just ask. Ask for that connection. Ask for that blending process. So check out the previous shows where we've done healing work and releasing work, and we've done meditations that will guide you to connect with your higher self, and we've talked about the pitfalls of meditation. We've also talked about the things that we all struggle with and how to overcome them, at least part of them. And there's some really cool meditations on there, some guided meditations that will help to heal your heart and help to heal your chakras and balance your energy. So there's something for everyone. And as I moved through my journey in meditation, I tried everything. I was like a kid in a candy store. I wanted to see where I could go with it, what this felt like. Let's try this type of meditation. Let's bring in this type of light. And of course, as a healer, I use light and I use sound and I use these things in my healing practice. So those things will be brought forth in my journey with you as well, because I feel that as we open up to more layers of who we are, there's stuff in the way. And those things are the things that make us feel overwhelmed. Those are the things that make us feel tired and stuck in life. They make us feel lost. They make us feel out of balance. They make life a struggle. And they're just belief systems. They're things that come from our childhood and things that we were taught and things that got ingrained into our subconscious. And meditation is one of those ways that we can release that and come back joy and love and harmony, contentment, and all those good feelings. So today we have a really good show. I do want to remind everyone, too, that is listening, that we will take callers for questions, not only to intuitively counsel, but also to help you in your meditation process and your spiritual awakening. I will tap into your guides and your higher self and answer any questions that you may have. You can call in using the number on the Blog Talk Radio page there, which is 347-327-9995, and then dial 1 to simply put yourself into the queue. So I'm getting a little text here. If you just give me a second, that I have a little bit of an echo on my mic here. So let me see if I can adjust it a little bit and get it better. Ask our wonderful guest if she's still hearing the echo. And I'm going to actually introduce her in just a minute, so when I have her on the line, perhaps that will help. But today we have a wonderful speaker, and her name is Cher Kaufman, and it is a very special show. She has an intriguing way to meditate. This one is actually new to me, and it's meditative drawing. Her name, Cher Kaufman, and also she is a wonderful author. She calls herself an inspirational art instructor, an intuitive teacher, and she's the author of a new book called The Artful Mandala Coloring Book. She also has some other books that are coming out as well later in the year that she'll talk about later in the show that I'm very excited about. Cher has been, of course, a colleague of mine and a friend of mine for many, many years. She was my spiritual mentor, my Reiki master, and she has a wonderful, eclectic background that is filled with studies in writing, in photography, in art, in massage therapy, in alternative healing, and energy practitioner as well. And, of course, she, you know, is a Reiki master, she's done Chinese face reading, and she's an incredible intuitive. And so the artful mandala can be found in the United States, in Canada and Australia, and will be translated into Russian as well. Cher's book has been featured in Allen America, the Dallas Morning News, numerous art blogs, and ACTV Spotlight. And Cher teaches meditative drawing at the Art Senior Center in Allen, Texas, and she does private classes around the Dallas Metroplex in Texas as well. Cher's second book that's coming out is called The Ancient Alchemy Coloring Book, Celtic Knots, Mandalas, and Ancient Symbols, which will be released in October of 2015, and her third book is scheduled to release in April of 2016. She has a very engaging public presentations. You would to go and see her speak. Coming into just her energy, she kind of brings you into this beautiful, warm cocoon of love. I've always felt that with her, and she just pulls you into the whimsy of the now and pulls you into what it is that she wants to teach you, and she's a wonderful teacher. So she can be received by children and people of all ages, really. So I just want to take the time right now to open up the lines for Cher and welcome her. Hi, Cher.
Hi. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here. Hopefully we got that little sound thing worked out. Let me see. Did your daughter say that she was still hearing it?
She said that it was a little bit better. There was just a little bit of an echo in the sound quality.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust my little microphone here that I have connected to my ear. I think it has something to do with that, but we'll just move through it and ask the angels of technology to help us out. So, Cher,
yeah, my daughter says now we both have a little echo, but we'll see what we can do.
Okay, good. We'll move through it. So I wanted to also mention that we're going to have a free gift, one of your books, to give away, too, to anybody who's listening on the phone. And the way that they can register for that is to go to my webpage. It's hearttransformations.com/winckbook. And you just go to that page and enter in their name and, of course, their email address. And by the end of this month, I will pick a winner of that book and contact that person to mail it to them. So for now,
I'm excited.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm excited for whoever wins the book because it's such a great introduction if they haven't visited this before, just to introduce back the idea of coloring, coloring. So anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so I wanted to just talk to you about how it all started. How did you begin your journey into this meditative drawing?
Well, as you mentioned before, I actually have a background in the arts. That's what I was studying in college. I studied writing in college. And so art has been part of my life, even from a very young age. I remember my dad and I would do charcoal drawings together when I was a kid. So art has always been there. But I moved away from it for a while and did other studies and became a massage therapist. And about a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago or so, I needed to redo my office space. And when I was redoing my office space, I was doing a redecoration of painting the walls. And I got this intuitive feeling to paint a mural on my ceiling. And it was kind of a strange feeling to be so led in the direction of painting this mural on my ceiling. And in the process of painting the mural, I didn't realize how much of this process was really pulling me forward into a whole new world for me. And I began to ask a question that I didn't even know was inside of me, which is I needed more of this. I wanted more of this. And the room was a way to get me there. And then one of my client friends showed me some art that had to do with repetition of patterns. And it felt so important to me that I researched it, I started to study it on my own, and then I began to branch out from that and started to teach And in the teaching process, not only have I seen myself shift and change through the meditative drawing, but also how it's affecting other people. So the meditative drawing actually started as a kind of a fluke and a redecoration thing of just painting the mural on the ceiling. I mean, it was nothing planned. It was something that I was intuitively led to do, which is perfect for your listeners on listening to the intuition, listening to what calls you from within.
Yeah, and that's really how it happens with meditation too, when we go into that kind of secret place within us and we just listen to the inspiration and follow through on it. We never know where it will lead us. And I feel it always leads us back into our intrinsic nature, into what it is that we truly desire as a soul. And so this led somehow to, and so all this kind of led to you manifesting or starting to create these coloring books, right?
So the coloring books actually came out of, I was teaching meditative drawing, private classes. And so I would teach at other people's homes, small groups, and I would also teach classes at my home in just some small groups. And I had one of my students that really took off and started to draw these amazing drawings. And she showed a friend of hers in New York City who happened to be an editor for a publishing company. And that editor said that she'd be interested in doing a book with me. So I was contacted by the editor, and we were discussing doing a book on the process of meditative drawing. And we actually put that book on hold in order to create two coloring books. Coloring books are, there's a need for the coloring books to reach people, to bring out that creativity. And we decided to get the coloring books out very, very quickly. The coloring books are reaching people in a different kind of meditative way than the drawing. The drawing is allowing people to tap into a creative aspect by using pen to paper and bringing something forth that maybe they didn't even know they could do. The coloring is providing a space where something is already there. They're just bringing it to life. And for those of us that have very busy lives, to just be and just be with something simple like a piece of paper and some colored pencils or some markers, and to see something change right before their eyes, that not only is there immediate gratification of that they did that, but there's a calmingness that's coming through. And I think that's why the coloring books are a necessary sort of evolution in play for adults. It's a childlike awe and creative space that we have not tapped into the same way in a long time.
And so do you think the popularity of those types of books right now is just like this big calling to people to really reach inward and to get into that meditative state in some way?
I think it's one of the ways. I think that our human nature requires some sort of sense of purpose, some sort of sense of being. And in that space, we will find different avenues and different pathways to what that means for us. But in that path, there must be some creative outlet for the human spirit, however that shows up. So whether that is through the arts or through writing, or whether it is through someone that is that piles rocks in just the right way that we have them landscape our yard, whatever it is, it's a creative outlet. And so through the coloring, it allows those, especially moms or people that have really busy minds or have a lot of activities, it allows them to be still in a way that is doable, that is accessible, that is within reach. We're not asking something of somebody that is beyond their capabilities. Everyone can do a little bit of something. Even if in their mind it doesn't look perfect or it doesn't look like what they see on a poster, regardless of what their mind is thinking, it's the fact that they're there that brings a place of calm. It brings a place of peacefulness. And what happens is that our brains love patterns. the love patterns. They love to seek out patterns. It's the most efficient way for our brains to work is to work within patterns. And I've studied patterns all my life. I love to look at patterns. I love to look at maps. I love to look at sequences. I love to look at processes and to see how things work. But intuitively, what happens is that our brain seeks the pattern because it's efficient. It's the easiest way to do something. But creatively, we get there through an organic process. Our intuition is not always A to B. Process is A to B. Goes from one step to the next step. But sometimes our minds get in the way. So when we give our minds something to focus on, which is the pattern of either coloring in a book or whether learning how to draw some patterns, the mind becomes comfortable within the pattern. And then the intuition can then come in, and it's amazing how that helps to do problem solving in a very gentle fashion, because then now they're working together. The mind has reached a focus, and the intuition has found an avenue to bring in a creativity within the focus. And then oftentimes you'll find people that are either coloring or drawing, and they end up with a thought that they didn't even realize they were thinking of, and then they come up with a solution for something. And that's what I'm finding that I really love about. This is a way to reach a meditative state without the traditional meditative, quiet, eyes closed, fingers touching. Some people are unable to sit still in that way. And so this is a way to allow the mind and the intuition to come together.
Yeah, and it's great because it brings focus. I mean, you're really bringing your focus and intention to the now and to the experience, which actually opens up your heart and it opens up your energy, really does. And it allows those two parts of the brain to start working in harmony, the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain as well. It's kind of, you know, when we see children like going into their coloring space, you know, when they're got their colors out and they're like totally absorbed in it, right? It's like you could just stare at them and be in their presence and they wouldn't even know you were there because they're so lost in the whole experience of it. And I see that as a very beautiful spiritual, you know, connection that happens at those times when they're really tapping into that fertile instinct to create. And I do think it's an instinct to create that sometimes gets muddled and shut down by all of the, you know, stuff that we're going through and trials and tribulations of our day. And of course, you know, where our mind is going, if it's taking us in a negative diatribe in our life, of course, it begins to shut down our creative flow. So what do you think? Go ahead.
Go ahead. What was your question? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to move on to what you think the benefits, what are some of the benefits that you've seen from your experience with this meditative drawing?
One of the most surprising benefits that I have seen that I wasn't quite expecting when I went into this is confidence. And it has shown up in ways where the people are not even realizing that their confidence level is rising. And it's very subtle. I can notice it because I'm watching the pattern. I'm watching the progression as this person begins to relax into their own being and they're beginning to expand. The benefit that I think is happening here is that their spirit is expanding, that they're connecting to a deeper place within themselves that they have either disengaged with or did not allow themselves to actually be expressed in their being. When I'm seeing people do either coloring in the coloring book or learning how to draw, there's not only the hand coordination that's happening, which means that the mind and the body are beginning to cooperate in a way that works, right? Hand-eye coordination. But there's something that becomes engaging in the creative process of the creation of either the coloring or within the drawing. It's reducing anxiety in a lot of my students that I'm seeing is that sometimes they don't know what to do with themselves, and then they start to color or they start to draw. And then that space that you were talking about with kids is that they just, it's almost like that saying where they fall through the pages of a book for a person that gets involved in a really good story. And then they look up and it's been a lot more time that has passed because they just fell in love with the characters or fallen into that storyline. The same thing happens in this place with coloring or with the drawing, is that time, there's a suspension of time. And in that space, we relax. And when we connect with a deeper place within ourselves, you can't help but have relationships change or your confidence bloom. There is, there are students of mine that are saying no for the first time in their lives in a way that feels important to them. They're starting to gauge what feels important to them. And it's not what you would think when you go to take a drawing class that you're going to get this big life boost out of something like that, or that coloring is beginning to have you look at things in the other aspects of your life. What I have been teaching my students is that my real goal, and I didn't realize that this was going to be my goal, but what I'm really finding is that there is this agenda to wake people up to see the world around them. It's seeing the beauty in the patterns that a flower has or the colors that those petals are truly holding, that there's a vignette from an orange to a red that you might not have even noticed before, that the patterns on the textiles of people's clothing, the filigree of jewelry, the way that that one little piece of hair has fallen to the floor, the way that it lays on the floor is the soft curve. It's paying attention to the small details in the world around them. That changes the way that they look at the world around them, which changes their coping mechanisms, which changes their confidence levels. It changes that they can see patterns in people, in things, in places. And it's been a joy, actually, to watch people grow from coloring in a book or from learning how to draw a flower. They're blooming. They're reflecting the growth that they are doing through those colored pencils or that black pen. That is actually not any different from the growth that's happening on the inside. When one thing changes in our lives, and you know this, Marie, from your personal experience, is that when one thing changes in your life, it cannot help but help to change or facilitate changes in other places in your life. And what's wonderful about this is that this is a very gentle way to create change.
Yeah. I had this painting experience when I went off to, I took a month off last year just for myself, where I went off away from family and took all of my creative endeavors with me. And one of the things I wanted to do was to paint an oil painting. And I had all these books and, you know, all the supplies and everything. And so I started down that path of trying to create a painting from a book, you know, from that very structure of the how. And then it was getting very frustrating for me. So I finally just surrendered and said, I know how to do this. You know, I just am going to look at the colors painting from a picture. You know, I had a picture that I wanted to copy, a photograph of a beautiful ocean scene. And, you know, I have an art background, a BFA in fine arts. And so I just started to look at all of the layers that were there. And as I started to study those layers, I could say, okay, this is my first step. This is where I need to go first. And then I'm going to bring in this element, and I'm going to bring in this element. And as I just started to be free with it and see the depth in the painting, I was able to put layer upon layer upon layer and come up with this brilliant end result. And it was my way. You know, it was through the way, through the vision that I had, not the vision of another artist and their how.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important, because we discover a part of ourselves that knows our inner hows, you know, and knows how to apply our creative flow and knows how to tap into that inner sense of innocence too, because I do feel like it's a union of our inner child with our inner parent, coming together and merging as one, you know, our inner adult, and playing. And we so forget
absolutely
to play, I think, as mothers today. So I'm really I'm really excited about doing this today. So I think we should get started on that if you're okay with that and
Sure.
move into it. And I'm going to do it while you're talking through it. So I'm excited.
Good. I'm
about
glad.
It. Yes, I've got my paper and I've got my nice Sharpie. And I'm just going to follow your instructions. So if you want to lead us, the one thing I wanted to ask you, do you find that it's good to have music in the background? Because I love to have music when I play.
I am a huge fan of music, not only because I find it very motivating. In other words, I change music depending on whatever my task is. If I'm having to wash dishes, that's a very different type of music than if I'm writing or if I'm drawing. So music to me is, it's vibrational frequencies that help to hold a space. And it can raise your energy or it can help to sustain an energy when you're needing the environment to hold it with you. Does that make sense? So
yes.
I love to have music in the background. And I have found that music influence how you draw. In other words, if I have very upbeat music, I might use brighter colors. If I have something that is a little quieter, I might do something that's, say, more along the lines of blues or greens or something like that, something that's a little bit more on the cooler side or calmer side of the color spectrum. So music can make a big difference for a person. And
well,
I just suggest to play with whatever works for you.
Well, I have a couple of tracks here that I can choose from for us and play very light in the background as you kind of talk us through it. And one of them that I'm
sure
going to today is called Pure of Heart. And it's just a very low, subtle music. I think that'll just help to calm anybody's nerves if they're a little nervous about the endeavor at all. And just get us kind of into that meditative space a little bit. So I'm going to kind of cue that up, and I may have to play with the sound here. Just let me see how that sounds. Okay, I think you can still talk, Sharon. It will be okay in the background. So why don't you try talking, and I may adjust it while you're talking.
Okay. And then just pay attention on if it needs to be lowered at all. That would be great. So one of the things that I really love to start my classes with is a quote that people have heard before but didn't realize that it's a different kind of translation. Many people have heard Lao Tzu's quote, "Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step." But really, a more literal translation of that is, a journey of 1,000 miles begins beneath one's feet. And that's even before you've even taken that first step. And that's a very important distinction, is that no matter what you're about to start, it starts with you first. So what I like to do is start with the most basic shape when we begin to draw. I like to introduce the circle. And what people don't realize is that there are lots of ways to draw a circle, but it is the most used, and it's actually one of the most least intimidating forms. They're mysterious. They hold a secret to life. The cycle of life is moving in an ever constant rotation, and it never really ends. So the cycle of life continues even as the end merges with the beginning again, creating a whole. So circles often hold a soft impression while holding a strong presence. In Chinese face reading, when I was learning that, we learned that intuitively we respond to soft curves very differently than we do hard edges. So circles are actually important to human connectivity. And the curves of this shape help us to bring us back around again. And so they're the first place that I like to begin to teach people how to draw. So when we are holding our pens, I'd like you to relax your shoulders, relax your jaw, let your eyebrows and your lips soften. People don't realize the places that they hold subtle tensions. And just let your thoughts just follow the music or the sound of my voice or even just the impression that the ink leaves on the paper. Be aware that your pen is not an instrument to be grabbed and gripped with tightness. It is an extension of your creativity. And so to hold the pen gently and will allow it to glide across the paper. So the first thing is, when learning how to draw a circle, is to connect your beginning and your ending points. So even as you move and glide your pen across your paper, and you can begin to draw circles now, move it in a slow, continuous, steady, connected motion for the entire time that you move around. And connect that place at the very end, the same place where your pen began. This might seem kind of silly and slow to people that feel like, I know how to draw a circle, but this is a much bigger energetic implication of how you use your energy. When we draw circles fast or rushed or in a hurried fashion, sometimes they look like sixes or nines or the beginning of a spiral instead of an actual circle. And even the people that have, say, a shake in their hand, in other words, they don't hold a pen perfectly steady, I still find that a shaky hand can make a much better and clearer circle than that of one that is being hurried that looks like a six or a nine. As long as that connected point from the beginning to the end creates that space, you have begun meditative drawing. So what I'd like you to do is to change your shapes. Put circles against circles of different sizes. Just taking your time as you move around the circle, connecting your starting and your beginning place. Change from small circles, large circles, medium circles. And then maybe play with putting a spiral in one of your circles. The way I like to do spirals is that I do a full circle and then I just keep my pen in motion and keep that soft circular motion steady and smooth going inside the circle till it spirals to the place that I feel comfortable with my spiral. Some are larger and wider and some are very tight. And it won't matter. You can change how you play with the spiral. But the process is the same. Gentle, steady motions, connecting your pen all the way. When we work with our pen to our paper, I like to think of it as a confident line. In other words, when you pen to the paper that it makes a connection, hold that same connection all the way until you lift your pen. When we draw with a place of not sureness, if I don't know if I'm doing this right, we have a tendency to draw very, very light, or that we start with one type of line, but you'll notice that the ink doesn't seem to connect all the way through and it lightens up as it connects at the end. For you, I'd like you just to have the pen connect all the way from beginning to end. And then when you lift your pen, it's with the same kind of pressure as when you put it to the paper. There should be no forced pressure on the paper. It should just be allowing the ink to leave an impression. The same can happen with triangles. I like to teach people to back away from the way that maybe they do triangles quickly and move them back to a step-by-step. Draw a single line with a straight single line and then lift the pen and then draw the second line, lift your pen, and the third line and lift your pen. When we draw triangles very quickly where we connect all the lines together in a single motion, we'll have a tendency to round the corners. And a triangle shape is unique in that it actually has points. Sometimes the lines are longer on one side, 90 degree triangles or obtuse. There's different types of triangles, but the idea is that the triangle as a shape has points. So the idea is to actually allow that point to be there by drawing three straight lines and connect in that triangle shape. This is very different than that singular motion that moves through the circle. And then I'd like you to just play with some of the different sizes of triangles. Make some larger, make some smaller. Maybe even play with patterns now, where you take a circle and then a triangle, a circle and a triangle. And even though this seems basic and very simplistic, what you're doing is you're allowing your body to simply be with a pattern. And when you're able to be with a pattern fully, that's when the pattern begins to teach you. When we go and approach drawing or coloring in a way that I know what I'm going to do, and you sort of attack that picture or that drawing, and you sort of create this thing like you're forcing a drawing, it's a very different energy than just allowing the images to appear, just putting something on the paper. One of the things I've noticed with women especially is that women have grown up to be multitaskers. They've grown up to be a master of many roles. They, in their mind, are always thinking of what they need to do in a multitasking session, whether that's laundry or dishes or kids or work. And this here is not about multitasking. It's about being with one shape at a time. And just allowing that one shape to have your full energy, the presence of being in just that one shape, or multiples of shapes as they begin to develop. What I have found is the struggle for women is that they want to create an image immediately. They want a picture. They want to say, look, I did this, because they're used to having result-oriented goals, setting in a way that forces them to multitask three steps ahead. And that's really good for other things. But in a moment where we're creating a space of calmness for the mind, a place for the intuition to interact, it's not about trying to do that next step too hurriedly. So one of the things that I like people to do is not to try to create anything in the very beginning. It doesn't have to look like anything. It can just look like shapes. But what you'll find is that the more that you are with these shapes, there's a gentle fashion of organic, intuitive growth in this process. If you know how to draw petals, which can be something as simple as a teardrop type of shape, or it can be an oval, or it can be something that is elaborate. If you have an art background, you'll know how to draw different types of petals. But let's just draw a simple flower. So what I'd like you to do is to draw either a circle or a spiral in the center, allowing your pen to grow in that steady motion from beginning to end, creating that circle or spiral. And then when you lift your pen and you go to create a petal that goes around the circle of shape of your choice, create that same soft place of steady movement. Now, here's something that I like to do that other people may not realize is something that they can do themselves, is to move. Children know how to do this. They do it all the time. When your muscle memory is creating a stroke in a particular fashion, or if the motion is from, say, up to down, up to down, up to down, if you move your paper and you let the paper rotate so that your wrist and your hands are doing the same motion, that they don't have to change position, your muscle memory will begin to create a pattern that the mind will recognize, that your muscles begin to recognize, and the paper is what's doing the moving. It's rotating around so that your petals can move all the way in a circle, so that you don't have to work hard at creating this flower. You don't have to create an awkward position for your wrist. And then start to look at these petals. Intuitively, what is drawing your attention to these petals? Are you interested in drawing another little shape at the bottom of the petal or within the center of the petal? If your petal is large enough at the base where it connects to the circle, does it have enough room to draw a half moon to connect to your circle within the petal? If your petal connects to a point at the circle, can you draw a half moon at the very tip petal? Draw this half moon in the petal, whatever your petal is holding the space for, some type of half moon, and just do this one line all the way around each petal, one at a time, lifting your pen, rotating your paper, one thing at a time. And the reason why I do one line at a time and go to the next petal and do one line at a time and go to the next petal is that you won't know what this pattern looks like until you see it on all the petals. And that is how you begin pattern building. One line at a time.
Well, it was quite an experience for me. I've got a beautiful array of patterns here that I can see already. And I think I'll spend some time after this recording just finishing it.
One thing I do want to mention for those that continue to draw past this place is that just in this simple exercise here of just drawing petals around a circle, is that sometimes women, especially those that have been connected to multitasking, will try to decorate a single petal in many patterns and then try to repeat all those many patterns on the next petal. And that is, that can be frustrating for some people when they create a complicated grouping of patterns, and by the third petal, they can't remember how they did it, same look. So I highly recommend doing one pattern and letting it appear, letting it show what it can do for you all the way around before you add anything more. And then you can add to it. You really won't know the magic of that one simple line until you see it in its in the the flower.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think I need to come to one of your classes and just be in it for a while and see where it takes me in my artist way. And this, I didn't go into the whole turning of the paper because I didn't have a whole lot of room here on my desk to do that, but I feel like that would be a very interesting exercise to watch. I'm assuming that as you teach this, you're doing it too, kind of showing.
Yeah, I always teach. It's always visual teaching. I always show, I'll draw and then I'll have other people draw so that they are seeing what I'm drawing and then they can apply it in their own style on how that looks on their paper.
And do you have any materials that you like to use that you feel are best, that like certain pens or that you can recommend or mediums, any paper, certain type of paper?
That's actually a really great question. So there are things that I like to introduce to my classes that are technical pens and they're a little bit better drawing paper. And I like to introduce them that way because if you have not been introduced, you wouldn't know where to start. But that being said, if you don't have a technical pen or some good drawing paper, it doesn't matter what you have as long as you've picked up some type of writing instrument and some type of piece of paper, be a crayon and a paper towel, though that doesn't hold very well if you put a lot of pressure. It can be a ballpoint pen and a scratch piece of paper. It can be, you know, a Sharpie and some printer paper, white printer paper. It won't matter. What you will find is that there are different pen-to-paper relationships. Sharpies, for instance, are really great pens in that they have wonderful line. They draw a nice, clean line. But they have a smell. You know, a lot of them have a pretty strong smell. There is a Sharpie that is odorless for people that like to work with Sharpies. I like to work with, I used to work with Microns, and then I found that there is some other technical pens that actually have more of a substantial nib. In other words, beginners may not realize that a fine tip Sharpie pen or a technical pen, the nib on that really works best if you hold your pen upright. In other words, it's straight up and down. Yeah. So that the contact is actually a clean contact on the paper. It's not like a relaxed pen at an angle ballpoint pen type of hold. And that's just something you just have to kind of learn how to hold your pen. But it's part of the fun of it all, is learning something new. So a ballpoint pen will work. I've seen some fantastic art with ballpoint pens, markers with colored pencils. It almost doesn't matter what you have as long as you're giving it a go. I'd rather people start to draw or to color rather than wait for that special piece of instrument or utensil that they feel will make or break it. It's the idea of the process, not necessarily the pen.
Yeah,
it's just being present with drawing.
And that's the same with meditation, too, is just, you know, getting started. And I think, too, having an intention to have your spirit join you in this exercise, and to, you know, whatever your intention might be, is a great way to tap into that fertile creative flow that everyone has, that's intrinsic to all of us, that's divine, you know, that comes from, it's not outside of us, it is us. And it wants to create, it wants to meditate, it wants to get into that intuitive space and guide you, you know. And like you said, I can very much see how this would open up that space for your mind to receive its wisdom on how to problem solve, to get inspiration, to, you know, have intuitive ideas that come to you just out of the blue. And I can see how it would be very healing, too. Yeah,
and you know, one of the other things that I hadn't even mentioned yet is that I always teach with pen. I don't teach with learning how to sketch with pencil first, because what happens when people go to pencil is that they feel if I make a mistake, I can't erase it. And so they have this thing where it can be erased. And so I always teach with people just jumping in with pen. It's a way of trusting that whatever you put on that paper was meant to be there, even if it wasn't what you intended or it was a little bit like, you know, you bumped or whatever it is. What I have learned and what I have taught is that those mistakes actually are just learning opportunities to see how that line would have looked if you had done it that way. You just never know. I drew a leaf one time and it looked like a deflated balloon, and I thought, oh no, that's not at all what I meant to do. And I thought, actually, it's perfect. It looks like when the leaf just sort of leans over to the side. And then I began to draw that way on purpose. But I wouldn't have known if I hadn't drawn that deflated balloon.
Right.
So it's just trusting.
I'm a big proponent of there's beauty in everything. If you really look, you'll see that there's perfection in all things. And that you can find that in, you know, your, like I have a little part over here that's, you know, not as perfect, but I know that I can add to it and see it grow and shape and take shape into something even more beautiful than what I had planned in my mind. And I like the fact that I didn't really plan anything. I just started moving my pen on the paper, and then this magical thing started to appear. And I imagine as you play with the color, it gets better and better. So I want to kind of take just a little bit of time to move us forward, because we've got about 5 minutes left in our show. I want to make sure that you have time to just tell us a little bit about your books and where to get them and any upcoming events that you have, okay?
Wonderful. Okay, so the Artful Mandala is actually out right now. And so people can get that off of the store shelves at Barnes & Noble. They can walk into the stores and actually get those. They can also order it on Amazon. It is going to be on Walmart stores and in the Sam's Club stores. Walmart, I think, has it online right now. Barbara's Bookstores and Hudson News, those are bookstores that are in the airports across the United States. They are also there. So if you're traveling, especially in the month of August, I believe news across the United States is having a little bit of a coloring event where they've got some coloring books that are showing. In Canada, the book is going to be out, I think, next week, where it's available in Canada. If you are visiting or have people that you know that live in Australia, it's been picked up by Target in Australia. And it's going to be translated to Russian over in Europe and Asia, which is really exciting because then that opens up a whole other, as a matter of fact, I think it's even on some of the European Amazon sites right now. I think it's the English book. I don't know if the translations are there. I'm very grateful for my editors, and the company that I'm working with is the Countryman Press, and they are an affiliation with W.W. Norton, and this is a publishing company that's been around for a very long time, so I'm really with the right people at the right time. It's just a wonderful support unit. For this book, you can also find it, I'm going to be 15th. The Allen Senior Center does their fall fair and the car show that they do there. And what's really special about this particular book is that the ladies that were in my class at the Senior Center at the time that I was collecting images, they have some pictures in the Artful Mandala. And so it's very special for these ladies that are part of the Senior Center. They're 50 plus that are being, they are published artists for the first time. And so it's really exciting. This is not only supporting me, but also these ladies that are in part of a community. And I have a couple of private clients also that have some pictures in the book as well. And so I will be doing book signing at the fall fair at the Allen Senior Center, September 19th. And that's in Allen, Texas. And there is something in the works that I'm working with Barnes & Noble to do some book signings, and so I'll post those on my website, Art of Share, C-H-E-R, at wordpress.com. There'll be some information there as those come.
Good. And so I'm just going to repeat that the website for Share is Art of Share, C-H-E-R, .wordpress.com. And, of course, you can reach Cher through that website, and it has all of her information on there to contact. And it's been such a pleasure having you here on the show. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to what happens with just discovering where it goes. And I wish you all the success with it. I know that it's brilliant because you're brilliant.
Thank you. And just super quick, I just want to put in that there's a second book coming out in October, which is the Ancient Alchemy Coloring Book, which I'm super excited about. And then there's a third book coming out in April.
Me too. I'm excited about that one. I'd love to see that one. So remember, too, that you can book by going to hearttransformations.com/WinCK book. And entering that in, and up until the end of this month, and then I'll do a drawing at the end of this month and send out that book to one lucky winner. Also, I want a promo for next week's show for Johnny Tan on From My Mama's Kitchen. He is going to be having and hosting on August 25th, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Amy and Johnny will be discussing Chicken Soup's latest release, which is about volunteering and giving. They'll be sharing some inspiring stories about passion and purpose and from people who are passionate about their volunteer work and their charitable giving and passionate about new purpose that they have in their lives and passionate about volunteering. So for any more information about this or future shows from My Mama's Kitchen, you can go to fmmktalkradio.com. And again, of course, if you want to reach me and receive any of my free gifts, you can go to my website at hearttransformations.com. It has been my today, and I look forward to the coming months and the coming shows, as I have other guest speakers that will be coming on. We have in the future Pranayama. Take care. Love you all. Many blessings.